So, Sahara, I think your experience is very different thus far than mine is. And talking about your stoma, and ever since I got diagnosed, actually one of the first things that they said was, oh, we don't, you know, we try and not do surgery anymore. We try and resist that as much as possible. But obviously that is a potential to happen at some point, but you've already been there. And it's something that seems really scary to me, but you seem... I mean, I'm not to say that it's not full of complications, but I'm so amazed at how positive you are and how much you've been able to accomplish with it, as not this being this big old scary thing that I need to dread ever happening. Yeah. if it does ever happen to me.
Yeah. I mean, it saddens me that's even a conversation that has been had with you, because it frames it in a negative way. And, you know, yeah, we need to kind of reframe that into... I think people should be having conversations about surgery with their consultants. I feel like those conversations should happen earlier.
Mm.
And not that I'm saying that a consultant should be saying, yes, you should consider surgery, but the awareness that a surgery is always actually on the table if that's the decision you make as a patient, because it does always make it seem like, oh, this is a last chance saloon. Like all you're trying to do throughout your journey is avoid getting there. I can tell you a story of the first 2 years of my life when I had that stoma in 2007, and I was not positive. I was very, very unhappy. I didn't know anyone else with a stoma. It felt like an old person's disease. There had been a suggestion from my IBD nurse that I go to some kind of support group, but that immediately... There was an image in my mind of us all sat round in a circle, like at an AA meeting, and that they were all going to be old people.
I just wanted to pick up on that, because that was a huge thing. For me, it's still even now, as much as, again, from learning about it through different communities online, of how it's not just an old person's disease, but the only people I had known of having a stoma or having, actually at the time it was very much, I didn't know what their diseases were, because they were old people and they didn't like to speak of their diseases. You know, can't possibly speak of illness. I mean, even my mother, I remember when I got diagnosed, my grandmother had died, and we had this realization of, oh, I think that's what she had.
Oh, wow. And
we're only pinging that together from her brief descriptions of, you know, surgeries or things that she'd had, and being like, oh, okay, well, maybe that would trace. And actually, turns out on the other side of my family, my great-grandmother had ulcerative colitis and then did have a stoma. But it felt this old person thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm young, you know. I don't want to be this, exactly that. I'm young and I'm attractive. I want to be able to do things and live life, and suddenly thinking, oh, can I not do this? I've wanted to be a mum since a very, very young age, and that fear of not being able to have children on my own has been a real, again, that's that doctors kind of just, they mention it, they kind of just put it in there, and it's like, oh, it may, you know, impact your fertility.
I'd been told that a reversal was possible, and that's all I was clinging on to the hope for. So when I finally saw the surgeon again, maybe 4 or 5 months after the initial surgery, my first question to him was, when can I have a reversal? And that's when he says, a reversal is not just simply a reversal. We need to create you a J-pouch, which is formed out of your small intestine, chopped up and stitched back together, and it's a replacement rectum that is attached to your anus, which must heal, and then you can have the intestine that's poking out of your stomach attached to that J-pouch, and everything goes through again. So, okay, that doesn't sound quite as simple as I expected, but not only that, he then drops the massive bombshell in my ripe old age of 19 that I'm probably not going to have children naturally after that. Now I'm 37, so the only way that I'm going to get one is the IVF or the torturous adoption process. Neither of these, you know, it's not fun. I went through all the fertility testing and it was bad news. Both tubes are blocked. I'd need to be sterilised before I could even get IVF. I'm saying sterilised. What? I'd need to have my tubes clipped because they're leaking toxic fluid into my womb. But everything's stuck to everything else as well. So the chances are it's going to be incredibly painful, because all of my internal organs are stuck together. And then a lot of stretching needs to happen to house this entire baby in there. And thanks to the IBD community, it wasn't until, because I had the J-pouch, I had the reversal, 2009, I think I got my J-pouch functioning. And then I needed another surgery in 2015. But that was just after I had started an online movement community. And there were all of these people talking about living life with a stroke. And I could see these people, and they were literally just living life. And I was like, hey, yeah, if they can do that, then I can do that. And there is a natural...
It's so reassuring.
It really is. And there is a fact here that the products have moved on a lot. What the products were in 2007 and what the products were in 2014, 15, there was a massive difference. They stuck better. They were a lot more secure. 2007 to 2009, I was covered in poo a lot. And that has not really happened at all since 2018 when I had my third stoma.